Are compassion and empathy the same thing? I get asked this from time to time, and understanding the difference between compassion and empathy, it's vitally important, especially for people who are dealing with a non-empathic person. There's a lot of confusion that can come if you don't really understand the difference of the two. And so I'm going to start by talking about the similarities. They are similar. They certainly deal with the same topic. They deal with, you know, the emotional needs of another person, and not even just emotional, but the physical as well, needs of another person. So I looked up the definition of compassion, and it's the feeling that arises when you are confronted with another person's suffering and then are motivated to relieve that suffering. And I looked up the definition of empathy. The ability to sense other people's emotions, coupled with the ability to imagine what someone else might be thinking or feeling. So these can feel really similar, but we need to understand the differences. Welcome to the Covert Narcissism Podcast. I'm your host, Renee Swanson. If you are watching this on YouTube or listening to this podcast, wherever you are today, please hit that subscribe button, that follow button, so that you can stay current on the material that we are providing. But not only that, you then help us to spread the word to more people. You are vital in this mission to reaching our world of people just like you who are living in this nightmare. I'm Renee Swanson, your host of the Covert Narcissism Podcast. And today we're going to talk about the difference between compassion and empathy and why it matters. So let's start with compassion. Compassion is action-based. It is the desire to take action to help somebody. You know, it's you're motivated to do things to help this other person. And that motivation can come from a lot of different things. And we'll talk about that. But it involves recognizing the suffering of another person. So maybe they got a cancer diagnosis. Maybe they had a death of a loved one. Maybe they lost their job. All of these are externally recognized. You can tell that a person is suffering because of circumstances that have happened within their life. And so you might care about that situation and feel moved to help them. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you have put yourself in their shoes, that you understand what they're going through. You see, compassion does not require a connection with this person on an emotional level. It does not require a connection to their emotional reaction to their suffering. Can a covert narcissist be compassionate? At the time that I was in my marriage, not knowing the difference between compassion and empathy, I would have said no, that there's no way that this is compassion. Now that I understand more, yes, a covert narcissist can absolutely show compassion. Compassion is about outward behavior. And so let's talk about some of the motivations behind it. You can have compassionate acts because you're motivated to look good. You know, well, that certainly fits with covert narcissism. Maybe you want to, you know, show other people your good deeds. And so they definitely will do this around an audience, or, you know, they can tell their story of when my spouse had cancer and all these great things I did to take care of them. And so they're there to impress the community around them, the family and friends that are around. Another motivation behind compassion would be, you know, to do things that you believe makes you a good person. So a covert narcissist believes that they are a good person. And so they're going to do things that match that belief. And this doing things are these compassionate acts, you know, carrying groceries for a neighbor or helping shovel the driveway, you know, when it snows, the neighbor's driveway, especially if the neighbor is sick or injured or anything like that. And so now they can, within themselves, defend that they are a compassionate person. They can continue believing that they are the great and wonderful person that they are because of the things that they do. Another motivation behind compassion is to have one up on this other person. You know, if they're doing compassionate acts for you, now you owe them. Okay. You owe them because they took such good care of you while you were sick. And so it becomes transactional. You know, they do the compassionate acts so that they will get favors in return. So this show of compassion definitely fits with the narcissistic sense of superiority, the sense of entitlement. It's that transactional. Everything is transactional. So I do this for you. You do this for me. But it's not necessarily motivated by an emotional response. Compassion is action-based. And without the emotional response behind it, without empathy behind it, it can feel really fake and really shallow. It feels empty. You know, I have people talk to me about the altruistic behavior of their partner to the society, to the world, to their little pocket of the world. This person looks so compassionate. They do all of these different things. And what are some examples of those acts of compassion? You know, like I said, helping a neighbor shovel a driveway when it snows. That can be seen in the community. Carrying someone's groceries to their car and helping a sick friend with their yard work. Even volunteering at a local charity, donating money, you know, to help people, especially if their name gets put in the little, you know, sponsors here kind of category. Even extending verbal forgiveness to someone, that can be a show of compassion that doesn't have empathy behind it. You know, they're doing it to make sure that they look good, or they look, you know, like they are compassionate. Even listening to a friend who's going through a difficult time can be a compassionate act when it's just done because, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do so that I can still defend the good person that I am. But the whole time I'm listening, I'm trying to figure out, you know, I'm listening to know what to say. What do I want to say? What can I say to make me look like the compassionate person rather than just listening to the needs and the perspective of that person? So, compassionate acts can be very confusing to people who are living with a covert narcissist because then you start to question, well, am I not seeing things right? Am I just making too much out of things? Am I not, you know, there's the compassionate act. They're doing this, this, and this. Am I just being ungrateful? And so it can lead to a lot of confusion. So let's talk about empathy. How is empathy different? Empathy is characterized by feelings. It's feeling the same emotion as the other person, feeling it from their perspective. And that phrase, their perspective, is going to be very valuable in this conversation. It's an awareness of other people's emotional experiences. It's putting yourself in their shoes, imagining it from their perspective. You know, it's the ability of putting your own perspective aside and really truly trying to look at it from their perspective. Now, empathy can be the fuel for compassionate acts. So empathy can lead to the acts of compassion. But empathizing with someone doesn't even mean you do anything. It might just be being there for them. You know, just having that that desire to connect with them and help carry their emotional burden. So empathy is more internal. It's feeling-based. It encourages connection with another person. You can end up feeling really close to them, even if they didn't do anything. But you can feel emotionally very connected. You can feel heard. You feel like you've been understood. And it involves, you know, that feeling emotions from their perspective. Like I said, it's not how I would feel in their shoes, but it's how do they feel in their shoes? So some examples of empathy would be actively listening to another person. And it's not listening to figure out what you say. It's listening to figure out what they're saying. You know, listening without all the chatter in your mind of, you know, I remember sitting in conversations, even as a teenager, and when somebody was opening up to me about a problem they're having, I remember trying to figure out what I was going to say. And in my mind, I would even think, okay, well, if I say this, oh, that's going to sound like I'm really compassionate. Or, you know, what can I say that will let them, you know, not even about them, will let me look good as a good listener? Well, that's not empathy. Empathy is stop all that chatter. Who cares how I look in this conversation? It's about the other person. It's about really, truly hearing them and hearing their perspective and hearing their feelings and identifying what you know their needs are. Not what I think they need, What do they need? It's being attuned to the feelings of another person, sensing their emotions. It's not attempting to fix them, okay? The fixing fits into the compassionate acts, okay? We can do compassionate acts. That's okay. But how about starting by listening, not with the goal of fixing? You know, being able to tell when someone is upset, angry, happy, sad, or even, you know, the more intricate emotions than that of, overwhelmed or ecstatic, and the ones that, you know, maybe are not on the surface, they go a little deeper. Feeling their feelings within you of how would I feel if I felt the way they feel, okay? That's empathy. So what does perspective have to do with this? It's got everything to do with it. Perspective, if I can only hold my own perspective and I can't possibly see the perspective of another person, then I don't have empathy. Empathy requires that I can put my perspective down and I can see the perspective of another person. You know, I've used the example before of two cars sitting at a traffic light, and it's such a great example of perspective. If two cars are sitting at a traffic light and one driver's in a hurry and I got to go and I've been late to 5 times this week and I've got that meeting and I've got too much on my plate, they're sitting at that traffic light going, okay, this is the longest traffic light I've ever sat at. And in the car beside them, you have a driver who's laid back. They're not in a hurry. Their week's been pretty smooth. They, you know, enjoying the sunshine. They've got music on the radio. They're, when the light turns green to them, they're like, man, that light, that was fast. And the question comes of who's right? Well, that's a question of perspective. They're both right. But the driver who's in a hurry, can they put their own perspective down and see the perspective of the other person? That's where empathy comes in. Someone with empathy, they can see other people's perspectives, but covert narcissists can't do this. They can't see, understand, or even acknowledge that somebody's got a different perspective than them. They might show compassion when, let's say, a family member dies. So let's say, you know, that your grandmother or your grandfather, your grandparent passes away. And they can see that. Like a covert narcissist can see there's been a death. So they know, okay, when there's a death, there's sadness and there's grieving and there's things to get done. And so they can actually be very compassionate during that time. Now, they will a lot of times undercut that because they're not the center of attention. And that's a whole side story. But they can see that this death happened. So they can see that that there's needs. They can see the needs. The needs make sense to them because they match this event that has happened in life. And so they offer compassionate acts. But when you're expressing your frustration because they yelled at you or they called you names, they don't see this from your perspective. What they see is, well, I was mad at you because of what you did. So it makes sense that I yelled at you. So I don't understand why you're upset about this. They don't see an event that should cause you to be upset. And so they don't have compassionate acts then. Well, this is that lack of empathy. When a death has happened, they can see the event and they agree that you should be upset. But when you are calling them out for the way they've treated you, they don't see why you should be upset, so there's no compassionate acts that follow that. All of that is due to the lack of empathy. That lack of empathy, they cannot see it from your perspective. They don't see why you should be upset because nobody died, okay? You didn't get diagnosed with cancer. There's not a thing that shows them. So from their perspective, they don't think you should be upset. All right, I'll add to this, that a covert narcissist not being able to see from your perspective, that when there is that death, they will do what they believe you need, not what you actually need. They will do what they think is best, not what is actually what you need. And so again, this goes back to that lack of empathy. Another analogy that ties into perspective is, you know, if someone's not feeling well, And maybe they've been sitting in a cold room all day. You know, it's cold at work and man, they crank that air conditioning and I'm freezing. And they go outside and they're like, oh man, it's cold out here too. And they're just upset about it being cold everywhere. And you've got somebody else who walks out of the office. They're feeling great. Maybe they just did a workout, you know, and they're feeling really good. And they walk outside and go, wow, it feels great out here. Both people are right. Empathic people can understand that perspectives are different. Perspectives are personal. Perspectives are internal. And this is where covert narcissists get trapped. They can't get to that internal world because of the lack of emotional growth and emotional development. And so they can't see things from another person's perspective. Now, why is it so important to know the difference between compassion and empathy? When you don't know this difference, it can lead to a whole lot of confusion with your partner. This is a partner who shows no empathy, but has moments of compassion. They do compassionate things. And the problem is to the world around you, okay, you're living in their world, this little pocket of the world that's around you, they see all the compassionate acts. And so even they add to the confusion by telling you, you know, when you voice up going, man, I'm just so frustrated in my marriage and I feel like he doesn't have compassion or he or she doesn't have compassion and that they don't care. And the world around you is going, what are you, crazy? Of course they're compassionate. Look at what they did. And they have a long list of all the things this person has done. This is because this person can have compassion. This is compassionate acts, but they lack empathy. And that's the piece you're feeling at home. That's the piece that just leaves you so incredibly frustrated because you feel unheard. You are unheard if you're dealing with a person who doesn't have empathy. They don't hear you. They are only listening to decide what they need to do. They're not actively hearing you. So you are unheard. You don't matter. You don't matter. Your perspective doesn't matter. What matters is what they can do to show a sign of compassion. So the feelings of not mattering and being unheard and being unseen and being not valued and not validated, they're legit. But it's because of the lack of empathy. Empathy pushes one to understand from the other person's perspective, acknowledging their perspective and acknowledging that it's probably different from mine and giving them the space for their own perspective. This is what's lacking in this relationship. With empathy, we work to find out what the other person believes that they need, what they think is best, not what I think is best for them. Now, if you are living in this type of relationship, I want you to go through a series of questions. I want you to think about a few compassionate acts that the covert narcissist in your life has done. Acknowledge them. They're there, okay? There are compassionate acts, but do these acts feel genuine and real? Did the covert narcissist gain some form of benefit from these acts? Do these acts feel shallow and fake? How did those compassionate acts make you feel? Did they make you feel more connected to this person? Later, did these compassionate acts get used against you? You know, did they manipulate it to say, well, but look at what all the things I did for you. Look at how much you owe me. Or how can you possibly tell me I'm a bad person when I did? This is their list, their check marks of all the ways that they are a good person. Are they able to see things from your perspective? Is there even any attempt to do so? I encourage you to write down the definitions of compassion and empathy. Make a list of examples of behaviors that fall into these two categories. Make a list of the things going on in your world with this person. Do they fall under the list of compassion? Or do they fall under empathy? In your own healing, when you are able to, focus back on yourself. When your world, when they stop being the center player in your mental world, and you take that position back, start reflecting on your own behaviors. Make a list of your actions in your relationships with other people. Do you fall more under the category of compassion? Or do you fall under empathy? And these two categories don't exist completely independent of each other. You can have compassionate acts without empathy, but empathy motivates us to the compassionate acts. And then you have compassionate acts that have substance behind them. the emotional connection behind them. They're plugged into your heart. I wish you so much peace on your journey of healing.
You have been listening to the Covert Narcissism Podcast with your host, Renee Swanson. Be sure to check out our website at www.covertnarcissism.com. There you will find many resources just for you to help you on this journey. You can also reach out to me by email at Renee, R-E-N-E-E, at cnglifecoaching.com. Those letters are CNG, as in Covert Narcissism Group. I do look forward to hearing from you. I wish you so much peace on your journey of healing.
The information provided by Renee Swanson and the Covert Narcissism Podcast is for educational purposes only and is not to be used for diagnosis purposes and not intended to be a substitute for clinical care. Please consult a healthcare provider for guidance specific to your case. This material discusses narcissism in general. It does not claim that any specific person has narcissism and should not be used to refer to any specific person as having narcissism. Permission is not granted to link to or repost this material to support an allegation or a claim that any specific person is a narcissist. That would be an unauthorized misuse of the material and information provided.